You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, family, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. One more time, Galatians chapter 5. That's right after 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. So we are wrapping up our series we have been in called Who We Are. Has God not been so good to us in this series so far? Man, it's just been incredible. And so listen, let me give you the title of the message as we get started this morning. We're going to talk about the harvest mission. The harvest mission, okay? And we've been talking about who we are to be and become like if we've been saved by Jesus. And so let me just ask, who are you, church family? Who are you? How do you answer that question? How do you describe to others who you are? If somebody were to ask you, hey, who are you? What do you say? I mean, typically we might start with like our name, right? Our name describes us to an extent. So you might say, I'm Brandon, or I'm Mitchell, or I'm Barbara. We got any Barbaras in here this morning? That is a good name. You should be stoked about that. She is stoked about that. Okay, but that's all we know about Barbara right now. Right? Our names only get us so far, is that right? So then if we're going to continue to describe ourselves to other people, what is a typical way we begin to describe ourselves to other people? We might then, if you're like a lot of people, you might then begin to describe what you do for a living. Is that right? You might begin to say, well, this is what I do for a living. And listen, that's perfectly normal. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. However, I want us to see something. We're talking about who we are, and our culture loves to define who we are by what we do. Is that right? Come on. In fact, culture today teaches you and me to find our identity and therefore find our fulfillment in life through what we do, but that's not how the kingdom of God works. But our culture will say things like this. It'll say, so you do construction for a living. Well, you're a construction worker. That's who you are. You style hair for a living. So you're a hairstylist. That's who you are. You're an accountant. You're an engineer. You're a teacher. You're a firefighter. You're a pastor. That's who you are. The only problem is, on its own, what we do can never make our lives complete. Come on, we know this. We see people, they go from job to job, career to career. They're always looking for the next best thing. They're always trying to get fulfillment in life, but it always comes up short. Or we see this, people retire from their job or their career, and they lose all sense of significance and purpose in life. Because God knows life doesn't work that way. Therefore, that's not the way the kingdom of God works. That's not the way his family functions. In God's family, you are not defined by what you do. You are defined by whose you are. The kingdom of God teaches us to find our identity in who we belong to. And so who do you belong to when Jesus saves you, when you give your life to him? God, right? You belong to Jesus. You belong to Christ. Your life becomes property for the Holy Spirit to occupy and then move through and work through. You become the Father's kid. So then it's really not about what you can do or what you haven't done. It's about who Jesus is and what he's done so that you also get to be a child of God with him. In God's kingdom, in his way of life, which is the ultimate reality, by the way. Well, in God's kingdom, if you belong to Jesus, if you've been saved by Jesus, if Jesus is your Lord, then you are God's kid. That's your identity. That's who you are. And do you realize in your Bible, people did not identify themselves by what they did. If you start paying attention, here's what you'll see. They identified themselves by whose kid they were, who their parents were, whose son or daughter they were. I'm serious. If you just start paying attention, you'll see this all the time. It'll be things like John, son of Zechariah, David, son of Jesse, Rachel, daughter of Laban, and so on. So listen, as followers of Jesus, we are to identify like Jesus in being sons and daughters of God. That's who we are. Now that said, please don't be a weirdo. You know what I'm talking about? Like if somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, who are you? Don't say, I'm Franklin. I'm a child of God, saved, set apart, and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's who I am. Nobody wants to have coffee with that guy. Nobody wants to eat pizza with that guy. Nobody wants to go to church with that guy, right? Don't be a weirdo, okay? But listen to me. You have to understand who you are according to God. It's vital, because it's only after you understand who you are that you can find any true significance, meaning, purpose, and fulfillment through what you do. And yes, church, there are things you must be doing if you are God's kid. And so follow me. Even though we can't find our identity through what we do, our identity is found in Jesus, okay? It's the things we do that tell everyone else around us whose we are and who we belong to. It tells people who we are, okay? So what should we be doing? Well, this is so simple, it's really not deep, okay? If we're God's kids, then we should be doing what our dad does. We should look and walk and talk and act and smell just like our dad. We should treat other people the way our dad treats other people. We should do for others what dad does for them. If Jesus is our Lord, we should be doing what Jesus does and do that when he tells us to do it. Let me say it this way. We should be involved in the family business. So one more time, with your Bibles open to Galatians 5, let's look at verses 22 through 23. Again, Paul describes who our God is, what he's like, how he walks, talks, acts, breathes, the whole thing. So our lives should look like this, should smell like this if we've been saved by Jesus, okay? Here we go, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Paul writes, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. If we've been saved, here they are. Come on, say them with me, church. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And once again, these fruits are relational. Love is a relational thing you give to somebody else, right? Kindness is a relational thing you give to other people, right? These fruits should express or relate to other people who we are, and they are not optional for God's kids. So here's a question. If other people don't experience these things from you, will they know you belong to God? And so how can we ensure that other people receive them so they can actually know who we are? Church, there is only one way. There is only one way for other people to experience these things from us through our lives, and it's the one way that Jesus shared them with other people, by living, as we say around here, on mission. By living on mission, that's the only way. Come on, we know this. Jesus says in Luke 2:49, I must be about my Father's business. And so then a disciple of Jesus is someone who is saved, changed, and on mission with Jesus. Saved by Jesus, changed and continuing to be changed by Jesus, but then they join Jesus on his mission or in the family business to make more disciples. We join Jesus on his mission so that others can experience the fruit in us. The mission field is where the fruit becomes available from us to others. Think about this. If Jesus loved us, but then never came on mission to save us, let's just say he stayed up in heaven. Let's say he never came to the earth to rescue us. Then how would we have ever known about or experienced his love? We wouldn't have. And so listen to me, church. There's a word. There's one word. It's a word Jesus used many times to describe the mission of God for humanity. Here it is: harvest. Harvest. This is a harvest mission that God's people are on. So if you have your Bibles, open to Matthew 9. Matthew 9, we're going to read verses 35 through 38. Matthew 9, 35 through 38, and we're going to watch as Jesus uses this language. And so he's living on mission, and so just watch what he's doing right here. Verse 35, it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. Notice that. And then watch this. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Do you see that? Okay, but keep watching. Watch closely. Verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Okay, do you know what compassion really is? Do you know what compassion really is? This is compassion. Compassion is having a deep sympathy for other people in their misfortune. But it doesn't stop there. That's only half of it. The first half is having deep sympathy for other people in their misfortune. And the other half, I'd say the vital half of compassion, is then also having a deep desire to want to do something to alleviate the misfortunes of others. Do you see that? Compassion is both the sympathy and the desire to do something to alleviate the problem. That's what Jesus was feeling right here, okay? So he's talking to his disciples. He pulls them apart or aside, and he says this, verse 37. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great." What harvest is he talking about? Come on, that's the crop right there. People. People's lives. The harvest is great, he says, but the workers are few. He's saying there's crowds and crowds and crowds of people everywhere that need to be saved, changed, and on mission, but hardly anybody is actually working in the field. There's only a few people trying to gather them in. So here's his solution. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. I'm just curious. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever asked God, "God, send some more people that know you, that follow you, so they can change this, change people's lives"? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Listen to me very carefully. God's entire mission has always been about rescuing, or you could say gathering, his people to himself so that they can be his kids and live life to the fullest with him. In other words, be fruitful with and like him in every way. Jesus came faithfully, full of the fruit of the Spirit, full of the love of God. He then shared the good news about the kingdom of God. Would you not agree that sharing the good news, the gospel message, the love and message of Jesus is the most loving thing you can do for others that then can actually bring peace into their lives? He then healed every kind of disease and sickness and illness. Would you not agree that there is kindness and goodness in that? He had compassion. There's patience. There's gentleness there. I'm telling you, he held out his life to others so that they could receive the fruit from him. And in doing so, he rescued or gathered new disciples to himself, and he sent them back out to do the very same thing, to work in the family business. The Great Commission is a harvest mission. He says, go and gather all of God's people from every corner of the earth. Make new disciples. Share the good news. Teach others to be disciples. Let your good deeds shine before men. Be fruitful. Multiply. Serve others. Care for others. Bring God's kids home so they can live fruitful lives with him as well. And again, he makes this statement. He says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Think about that. Here's what he's saying. There just aren't that many people being fruitful. There just aren't that many people actually holding out their lives to others, offering love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits are relational. He's saying there just aren't that many people actually sharing the good news, the life and love and message of Jesus with others. There just aren't that many people praying for and with others that they would get healed and set free. There just aren't that many people being faithful to the family business. And so here's what I wonder. If there just aren't that many, how much of the church today even knows how to actually participate in gathering in the harvest? How much of the church today actually knows how to make more disciples. Because church, here's the sad truth. According to Jesus, much of the church, and I'm talking about big church here, okay, but much of the church knows how to be unfruitful. Much of the church knows how to be unfruitful. And so it's either that a whole bunch of the church just doesn't know how to harvest, or maybe there's a whole bunch that just aren't interested, or maybe there's a whole bunch that have just gotten way too busy and distracted with other things to actually spend time working in the family business. Either way, listen to me. If you say you are a follower of Jesus, then you need to hear this morning. There is only one choice. I don't know where we've come up with it, but it seems like the church for the longest time have been just giving ourselves all kinds of options. There's not all kinds of options. We don't have the option to say, let's have those people go do it, or let's have them go do it. If you say you are a follower of Jesus, there is only one choice, and it's for you to become a disciple maker. It's for you to work in the family business. So if you simply don't know how, listen to me. Let me start to explain to you how harvesting in the kingdom of God works. I think this could change somebody's life today, okay? Here's what you need to understand. There's actually two different kinds of harvests that you need to be aware of in the kingdom of God, okay? Listen to me. Here's the first one. There must be fruit in your own life that's made available for others to harvest from you. Okay? So that as they pick the fruit from your life, as they enjoy it, as they taste the godly fruit that comes from your life, a second harvest can then take place. Here's the second harvest. It's where their lives get harvested, or you could say gathered, into the kingdom of God. Let me say it this way. The godly fruit that's available for others to harvest from you will then harvest the lives of others into the kingdom of God. Are you following me? Fruit is required for you to work in the family business. So if you're unfruitful, you can't go work in God's field. I actually drew some really artistic pictures to help illustrate this morning. We've got the first one. Oh, man. Check that out. I drew an apple tree, all right? This is an apple. Pretend with me that that's an apple tree, okay? That's an apple tree, all right? Now, I only drew one apple tree, okay? But does anybody know how many apples can grow on an apple tree in a season? Actually, let me ask you this way. Is it one apple per apple tree? Wouldn't that be sad, right? Wouldn't that be so sad? It's lots and lots and lots of apples for one tree, right? But I'm telling, it would be a bummer if there was only one apple per tree, right? I drew a picture of that as well. Whew. Look at that sad thing. It's not even centered or lined up. Like, all right, let's go back to the one with all the other fruit. Okay, this is amazing though. Did you know that a healthy apple tree can produce anywhere from 6 to 10 bushels of apples in one growing season? And a bushel on average can contain about 125 apples. So that's anywhere from 750 to 1,250 apples each season from just one tree. Somebody say, that's a lot of fruit. Come on, so keep following me. Jesus said the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So please, you have to understand this. This apple tree is the worker. This is the worker right here. And the fruit on that tree, the apples right there, these apples represent the first kind of harvest. They represent the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that we, as healthy trees, are to have available to share with others. This is an apple tree on mission. In fact, we have a picture of that as well. I know you're impressed. Listen to me. I'm telling you, listen, these apples are the first harvest that the crowds and crowds and crowds of people can get to pick, they get to taste, they get to experience. It's the fruit they get to receive nourishment and life from. It's the harvest that leads to the second kind of harvest where their lives get harvested into the kingdom of God. Come on, we know this. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's when we taste and it's when we see that we actually say, oh, I'm gonna follow you, Jesus. I like what I'm tasting. I'm gonna give my life to you and go where you're going. Come on. So watch this. There's only one worker right here. There's only one worker right here. One tree with lots of fruit to offer throughout a season, or follow me, throughout a lifetime, because every season is mission season when you're following Jesus, right? So listen to me. Throughout a lifetime, a crowd of people can enjoy fruit that one worker has to offer so that many lives can be harvested into the kingdom of God. Are you with me? The fruit in your life is the harvest that other people need so that they can receive life and have their lives then harvested or gathered into the kingdom of God. That's called disciple making. That's called disciples making more disciples. But then Jesus makes this remarkable statement. He says, the workers are few. In other words, there aren't that many people actually living on mission. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. Listen to me. We have to see this. All of these people down here, these are potential apple trees. Come on, these are the workers he wants to send out into the field. These are the new workers. Once their lives get harvested, God's plan is for them to start being fruitful. They get saved, changed, and on mission. They join the family business so that the fruit that's in their lives gets to be harvested, so more lives get harvested into the kingdom of God. This is how you see a multiplication of disciples. This is how you see Newton reborn. Here's what Jesus is saying. Here's what he says to his disciples. He says, pray that God would send more workers into the harvest field. Watch this, okay? Here's what I think he's saying. You pray. You pray that you will be fruitful. You pray that you will be fruitful, and then you actually take the steps that agree with your prayers. You join Jesus on his mission so that you will live a fruitful life, so that hungry people can harvest the godly fruit that's in you and therefore have their lives harvested into the kingdom of God, so they can be sent out into the field, so that there can be more workers through you. I think we've read this verse. I think we prayed this the wrong way for a long time. We've prayed things like this. Dear Jesus, just send some other people to do the work. Dear Jesus, we need more workers in the field. Dear Jesus, would you send the missionaries? Would you send the pastors? Would you send the super Christians? Would you send that church over there? Send them out. We need more workers in the field. Yes, you can pray that, but here's what I think. The heart of this prayer, okay, is when you pray. It's when you pray. This is what it needs to be. God, make me a disciple maker. God, make me a disciple maker. Give me compassion for the crowds. I'm getting on mission with you, so use me that more workers can get sent into the field through the harvest you produce in me. If you're not on mission, or if there's very little fruit in your life, and you start praying, God, send more workers into the field, Send somebody to go do this work, but you're not simultaneously praying, Jesus, send me. Jesus, make me a disciple maker. Jesus, make me fruitful. Then I think that's a pretty hypocritical prayer to pray. You have to get on mission. How fruitful are you? How fruitful are you? Are you a fruitful tree? Is there fruit in your life for others to pick? And here's the question, okay? Listen to me. If you say there is fruit, how are you making it available for others? How are you making it available for others? How are you stretching out your branches so that others might pick the harvest of fruit that's in your life? In what way are you holding out your life for others? What are you doing as God's kid? And so very practically, what does holding out our branches actually look like? Well, here's what we've seen in this series. It starts with a heart that's connected to Jesus. A heart that remains in Jesus, spending time with him consistently in his word so that we can receive and understand his heart. So that we can actually, like Jesus, have compassion for the people around us. Listen to me. If your connection with Jesus is lacking, there will be a lack of compassion in your life for others. A lack of desire to alleviate the hunger, the brokenness, the spiritual needs of others. And if there's a lack of compassion, you will not live on mission. This is going to be really strong. But honestly, a lack of compassion is why some of you don't serve on Team Reborn. You say, no, it's not. I'm just too busy. No, I would say your compassion is aimed primarily at the things in your own life that you've prioritized. You've made yourself too busy doing things that aren't the family business because there's a lack of compassion for the lost around you. It's time to stretch out your branches. It's time to stretch out your branches. So again, how do we do that? You got to stay connected to Jesus. But honestly, stretching out your branches, if you're going to start, it starts with serving with your local church. I know some of us are like, this again? Man, you talk about this all the time. I haven't come up with anything new. This isn't my own agenda. This is Acts chapter 2. This is how the church began. This is how people got on mission. They showed up together and they served and cared for the needs of others. They had compassion on everyone around them, so they went to work together to alleviate the spiritual brokenness. Now, it doesn't end there. It shouldn't end just at church, okay? But for disciples who are on mission, it starts there and it doesn't ever stop there either. I have never met or even heard of a truly fruitful follower of Jesus who doesn't participate and give and serve and pour into the ministry of the local church that God has called them to. They are all in. Fruitful people understand that the ministry of the local church is that the ministry of the local church is providing in their city, in the mission field that God has called them to. They understand it's vital. They understand that the Sunday celebration services and the small groups of the neighborhood gatherings are huge for feeding and harvesting other people. They understand that there are people showing up each weekend and throughout the week that are hungry and need to be fed. And so they join with the church in holding their lives out for others to harvest from them, which then harvests more lives into the kingdom of God, grows the church, which then sends more people right out into that mission field God has called the church to. And so built into that process, built right into the family, is an environment where people can actually learn and grow in their ability to be truly fruitful Monday through Saturday. We learn, we grow together, we practice together on Sunday. We see a lot of wins together, and we discover how we can be even more fruitful throughout the week. So listen to me, being truly fruitful with your church family actually leads to a more fruitful week all week long. And so Monday through Saturday, what does stretching out your branches really mean? What does that actually look like? It looks like having compassion for your coworkers. It's when you pray for them and you're relational with them so that they can enjoy your fruit. And as you're relational, you also invite them to a very fruitful environment. You invite them to church. Fruitfulness all week long is where you show up on 6th Street with us to be a blessing to our neighbors. And as you serve them, they get to harvest some of that fruit that's in your life. It's where you pray for your kids. It's where you read your Bible with your kids and you tell your kids you love them as you tuck them into bed so that they get to harvest some of that fruit in your life. It's where you pray with your spouse and you read your Bible with your spouse and you tell your spouse you love them. And then you together you share love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that each of you can receive that kind of fruit and other people get to harvest the fruit that's in your marriage. It's when you show up in your neighborhood gathering and you bring something delicious that you put some thought into. It's when you contribute to the story or maybe even speak up and share your thoughts. And then it's when you pray for somebody else in your neighborhood gathering. It's where you smile at that person at the grocery store and it's so obvious they've been having a bad week. It's where you spark up even the tiniest bit of dialogue with your waiter because you want to encourage him. You want to pay him a compliment and then a generous tip. It's where you're faithful to bring your tithe. It's where you're faithful to bring your tithe. Man, we did the blessed life. So many of us have been doing that. There's some of us that are falling off. It's where we're faithful to bring our tithes. We bring our offerings. We live the blessed life. It's when you're getting a haircut and the hairstylist is telling you a tough story from her life. And so at the end of it, you lean in and you say, hey, can I pray for you? Church, this is the on-mission life. These are just some of the things that workers do. This is the family business. It's the harvest mission. Is there fruit in your life for others to enjoy? How much? How much are you making fruit available? And what does it look like when there's very little fruit for others to enjoy? I drew a picture of that as well. It's that apple tree that only grows one apple. Or maybe just a few apples. It looks good from a distance. It's got a lot of leaves. It looks promising. But there's hungry people all around and not enough fruit to satisfy. I say this with grace, but I think way too much of the church is living right there. We're way too consumed with other things in life that aren't the family business, that are keeping us distracted from the family business. And so when we do show up in church, most of the time, we're there to consume rather than let other people get a harvest. We show up sporadically. Our serving gets heavily limited. I say this with grace, but man, we know how to click those blockout dates in Planning Center way more than we know how to click those serve dates. Our giving is inconsistent or not a true tithe. Our prayers are few and far between. Our time in God's word, this is the whole church right now, our time in God's word is virtually non-existent. And so our fruit is tiny. It's malnourished, and there's not much for anyone else to enjoy. Listen to me, just be honest with yourself this morning. I say this with grace, but be honest with yourself this morning. Do any of these descriptions fit? Do any of these things that I'm talking about just fit? Please don't put up a wall. Please don't get offended right now. Just be honest between you and God. You don't have to say anything out loud. Do any of these things fit? There's grace. There is. But listen, if they fit, here's what we need to do today. Own it. We just need to own it. There's grace for the way we've lived. There's grace for the way we've been involved or not involved in the family business. There's grace, but listen to me. There's not grace to stay the same. There's grace to change today in the name of Jesus. There is grace to change today in the name of Jesus. Can I encourage you this morning? I believe God really wants to help many of us with this today. Stretch out your branches. I'm serious. Let's call those things into life. Stretch out your branches in the name of Jesus. Stretch out your branches today. Start making fruit available for others like never before today. Some of you have been dealing with hurts and wounds and you think you have nothing to offer, but what if stretching out your branches to others might be a part of the healing process that Jesus wants to use to bring you life? Some of you have been so disappointed and so discouraged in life, but what if allowing others to enjoy the fruit that Jesus wants to produce through you will bring you the joy that you crave in the answers to your prayers? Stretch out your branches today. Pray today, God, Lord of the harvest, would you send more workers into the field? So pray this, Holy Spirit, here am I, send me. Stretch them out, church. No more waiting. No more waiting to be a part of the incredible work that God has called us to here in our city. No more showing up late on a Sunday morning, missing the opportunities to encourage other people before worship even starts. No more church life dominated by consuming what other people have to give you here, but you join us on Team Reborn today and stretch out your branches that the hungry people that are showing up that God wants to harvest can get harvested and sent back out into the work field with us. I see a harvest. I see a harvest. No more looking at your coworkers in a negative way. Come on, stretch out your branches and see them today the way Jesus does. No more bitterness towards your boss, but compassion in the name of Jesus. Stop the negative and sleazy and inappropriate posts on Facebook that's spoiling your potential harvest. That might have been too strong. Grow up. Let's grow up. You're spoiling. You get all pumped up in church, and you post something that just wrecks it. Stop it. In the name of Jesus. I got grace. Stretch out your branches. Stretch them out. Love your kids. Stretch out your branches. Love your spouse. Stretch out your branches. Join Team Reborn. Stretch out your branches. Show up at your neighborhood gathering. Stretch out your branches. Don't interrupt the fruit that God wants to produce in others by leading them further from Him. Stretch out your branches. Stretch them out, church. Offer fruit. Examine your life daily through the fruit of the Spirit. You got to get into God's word daily so that you have the word of God and all the fruit that comes with it so you can offer it to others. Love our neighbors on 6th Street with us. Stretch out your branches. Jesus says we are His true disciples when our lives bear much fruit. Come on, there's a harvest. There is a harvest in front of us. In the name of Jesus, let's not let this harvest get overripe. Come on, there's a harvest, and the harvest mission is right now. I've got a burden for harvest in this city. God breathed the gathering into life because there's a great harvest that needs to take place in this city. Newton Reborn, a people in their city, revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for His glory. Do you realize that our very name, the gathering, actually means harvest? You know that's what that means? And that's no accident. Listen, Jesus saved me back in 2005. I was living in Kansas City. But ever since that day when I would come back to visit Newton, I saw the people of our city and I saw the city itself differently. I'd come back and look, I'd see people everywhere. I'd go to the restaurant or I'd go to the grocery store or the Walmart, you name it. And I would see people everywhere that were disconnected from God. Okay, that much was obvious. But I would see more and more people all the time. And it was like they were completely disconnected from anybody who even cares about their lives. And it broke my heart. It still breaks my heart. I said, not in my hometown, God. We got to do something. So here's what God began to do. He began to pour out a compassion into my heart, His compassion, saying we got to alleviate some spiritual brokenness here in this town. And not just a little bit, we need to alleviate all of it. I started praying this prayer. I was saying, God, send more workers into the field in my hometown. So here am I, God, send me. Send me. Would you use me? Here's what He said. Go. Go. Go see Newton Reborn. And if you call the gathering home, He's called you too. If you call this place home, He's told you the same thing. He gave us a harvest mission, and then He named us together the gathering and said, go see it happen. Is that who you are? Is that who you are? Are you God's kid and therefore a part of His family, therefore a part of His church? And so is harvest what you do? So yesterday afternoon, I was praying about this message and I felt like God just interrupted me and just said, Brandon, what do you want people to do as a result of this message? And this is just the thing that just poured out of my heart. I said, God, I want us to commit like never before. I said, Holy Spirit, I pray you do something to stir us up, to work in our hearts, do something that I can't do. I pray you would motivate a commitment in this family like never before. Some of you guys are committed. Some of you guys, man, have been committed, and man, you just give and give and you serve. And I'm going to be so bold today to ask, I wonder if we can still stretch our branches even more. I wonder if it's possible to dig even deeper. Stretch out your branches, church. There's a harvest that needs to take place. There's a family business that needs to be tended to. Mom, we need to be in the field. Some of us, there's so much grace. Listen to me. Some of us have never committed to anything and stuck with it. Many, our culture doesn't even know how to commit today. I'm asking you, what if you tell God, God, I'm committing today. Come on, if you've been wondering, is this my church home? It's no accident that you're here. Come on, make this your church home. Get into the field with us. Stretch out your branches. Some of you, you've been here for a long time. You say this is your church home, but you've never committed yet to serving. You've never committed yet to stretching out your branches with us in a meaningful, consistent way. Our giving's inconsistent. Come on, stretch out your branches. Let's dig deep. There's a harvest that needs to take place. There's so many people that need your fruit. Come on, not just one apple tree. We need a whole bunch of apple trees. Amen? We need that fruit to be available in our lives so that other people can come and harvest it from us, so that their lives can get harvested into the kingdom of God. There is work to do, church. We need you to be a part of it. If you call this place home, that's who God has called you to be. Is that who you are? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the gathering. I thank you, Lord, that you had it in mind to breathe this family into existence. And I thank you, Lord, that our purpose and our fulfillment isn't found in what we do. We get to be found in you. I thank you that Lord, we get to stand and know whose we are. We are yours. But Lord, I thank you that it doesn't end there, that God, you do have fulfilling, significant, impactful work for us to do. You invite us into your family business. Thank you, Lord. I pray, would you forgive us for all the distractions? I pray, would you forgive us for all the ways that we've gotten busy? Come on, do you need to ask him this morning for forgiveness for all the ways you've gotten busy and distracted and have not aligned yourself properly with the family business? Come on, today's the day. Make a commitment. Dig deeper. God, I want to be about your business. Jesus, you're my Lord, so there aren't other options to allow me to go do what I want while other people do the work. Come on, would you take my life? May I belong to you in every way, and I commit to go deeper. I commit to stretch out my branches. God, I pray, come on, just in your heart today, just stretch them out. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as we stretch them out, as people are saying yes to you right now, as people are committing a deeper commitment to you right now, as they're making commitments like they've never made before, I pray, would you fill our branches with your fruit? Would you make our lives fruitful? God, we need to see a harvest in this city. I pray that none of us would miss out on it. God, come on. We pray in the name of Jesus. We see a harvest. Let it come to pass. I pray we would see more and more life, more and more growth, more and more people come to know you, more and more baptisms, more and more people then getting called out into the work field. Lord, we want to see Newton reborn. Bring it to pass in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. We commit to follow you. And we anticipate so much of your goodness along the way. We say, have your way. It's in your name we pray. And all my friends said, amen. Amen. Come on, can we thank God together today? Yes, Lord, we need you.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.